symposium has been part of the Pentagon lectures for years. In previous dispensation, it was late in the afternoon, a closet that had electrical equipment in it. Well, it wasn't that bad, but there wasn't choice at the time or real estate. And we don't know how it happened, but my biggest room, a better time slot, and made available when the lecture presenters were served. So during this time each day, we'll have the 11 symposium. And John will introduce today's program. We have two presenters. And then on Friday, that paper that is presentation today will be part of a discussion on Friday, and we'll have Jason Rock and Eric Wilson will join us for a conversation on Friday. So that's the thing. In the middle day, we get to interview Peter Hinnings for 45 minutes, and we're excited to host him, and now you'll have your questions. We're going to interview, he's talking in his class about his book on the gap, but we're going to interview him about his stuff on the scripture, which is extremely helpful. So, by permits, come back and be a part of this.
So, welcome everyone. Just to briefly introduce what's going to happen today. Much of what we want to do with the 11th Symposium is we want to give space for great students of Scripture and people with pastoral and ministerial hearts to come together and share the resources across those different modes. And today we are thrilled. Our main presentation is going to be by Amy Matthews. I'll say something more about that in just a minute. And then a response by Carrie Myers. Both of them are here at Pepperdine. And Danny's going to challenge us with our theme for these lectures, what the scrolls that we're looking at this week, what the themes for ministers and the relevance for churches and congregational ministry. And Carrie will respond to that. Danny is on the faculty here at Pepperdine. He's an Old Testament scholar. He went through Harding and ACU and Princeton and Union Theological Seminary. A number of other places, but the thing about Danny that you need to know, Danny loves and has great passion for a number of important things in life. He loves the Dodgers. He loves Star Wars. I'm not sure I have the order right here, but he loves Scripture, and he loves the church. And one of the things that Danny does as well as anyone I know is he brings together a passion and insight and knowledge, especially Old Testament Scriptures. Love for God's people. And so he's going to be sharing for us as ministers the relevance of these scrolls in church ministry and congregational ministry. And then Carrie, who is a faculty fellow, is that the right title? At Pepperdine this year and just been appointed for next year. She's a PhD candidate at the University of Denver in religion and social change. She also spent 10 years on the ministerial staff at Richmond Hills Church in Dallas, and so she's going to present our first kind of response from a minister's perspective on Danny's material with the panel within the middle of the Friday. So please, let's welcome Danny to share with us.
Thank you, and by people of faith, choosing between the
If you can name these five books together, people who understand the then we had a few non-narrative books that mainly about God. here, here, in my home. Okay, so the reason that you call in fact in the world today, but it is not a good 100% call in fact, because we get also tells you that irrigated brain in the world. Time and chance happen to you in death tonight. So it's possible to predict what you want to know. If I'm good value in terms of what time goes in the field, but if there is a quality in there, but if you lose, not very good. So you determine a really quality would be. But there is a basic quality in there that we can take a higher one, that they can be to know it when you know it will be. Okay. So we need to avoid the PDF. It's the only way to approach it. That's the question. We have a 5-day Y protein for no time. And then we know the time, and in that time, cool. Engaging in the protein activity is cool. And then number four, we can be shown a clear and sober safety of the medical activity. And then we can use the brain that we can create. We can be persuaded on how to limit it for finite human beings who are not created. It really happens. And if God is going to think, God is having you on earth, you can give it that life. So when we get the starting point, it's not acquiring greatly the data for you, but rather how we stay in our constant. And that is the idea. So if you're trying to grab the book,
same time you know that it's belongs to God. So, Thank you.
can we provide? If you're providing a way to police it, I think you've already made it out of the public building. I didn't care if it's running. That the conflict between being visionary and being active is really being followed. If you want to fail that day, if you do get to that, that's not me that's left to deal out with that man. And so, you can make main character here, I believe you've got a baby boy for 50 years. Why don't you also make me pet? And I'm going to die. But, you do that in what's me? I'm me. And he's running here in the moment. He we need to get it out here. He's continuing to be able to be like, that is not a country. You know, it's all just being a big country. So if you have studied the year, he's going to run. You know, he's very big. Or if you think about maybe the relationship between science and faith. So you know, the phone, the energy of the
especially by the this is a lesson I know from God. That was when I learned school game or a gas station. God is in the business of repurposing every day for his children. We don't give a shepherd who comes to clean. We shepherd the boy who comes to clean. All of you comes to oil to the Lord, comes to savior, to bread and wine, to the flesh and blood. How do we incorporate the use of the natural and worldly of every day for Christmas? How are we joining the presence of God? In what ways will we be organizing and valuing the scriptures? Where's the second? Where are we finding God's word to see it in the world? My heart, what I brought to social place, the keen awareness of my body and being in the suffering. There are injustices, violence, and hurt and suffering, and I wonder what would be the church's response. Many times the church's response is universal. One of the biggest areas I see distinction between the sacred and the secular is in the area of temptation, and grief, and injustice, and trauma. Often there is trauma in the secular world, and the communities around us here, physical and virtual, are not in pain and grief and anger. We cannot respond. Or we are responding in a peaceful way, and there's a great risk of responding. So we choose silence. And it's kind of less helpful. We're struggling with the difference between secular and political. And where that difference is, the conversation of our spirituality. I think part of the problem is that it seems we define secular and moving as political. And we remember this about conversation between spirituality and politics. So I think it's good that we're very cautious about engaging in spiritual movement, which is science and politics. I really love to all my shootings happened 18 years ago last month. And I remember watching it on the news from Texas. Because I was watching the news reports, I could see ministers and people from my own congregation in Africa. They didn't know that our church was killed, that all of the ministers and congregants were killed. And I asked one very old, very seasoned ex-youth minister of my church why he chose to go home that day. He said, "I was partly because he heard the kids at the school responding to area youth ministers better than they were responding to the school counselors on Sundays. And also because," he said, "I couldn't imagine a better place for me to be." There was another spiritual struggle of whether or not we should go home by me because of the suffering of our community. Why? How did we choose where to engage our secular culture when it's in the past? What are the criteria that where our presence and our voice is served to one? Yet silence in other areas. I wonder if some of the greatest injuries committed by our churches have been wounds of absence or silence. Surely saying or doing it not quite the right thing is better than doing or saying nothing at all. There is an entire school of thought of Christian ethics that encourages the church to gather and hold the power of serving the Bible and the power of others. Perhaps we enjoy the privilege of not having to do it. So we have a tension of standing in the silence. And if you're standing in the world, the world around us is hurting and angry and confused, and we grieve with them, even if we disagree. This presentation by our madness does not leave the church to go into silence. He says, "The success in battle does depend on the preparation of others. This is well within the context of a larger spiritual view that God is ultimately the one who brings about victory. As a result, the spiritual group God's active involvement in the world and the order does not justify a velocity of passiveness. We simply not act. We simply allow God to have God's way in the world. Rather, he rules to be fit, intentional, and perfect. So the resources and abilities of God should be there. I wonder if we have forgotten what to read in the world. What has happened to the world? We know how to celebrate, we know how to bless. What does it mean? Why don't you just not scream together? But then our community will not try to fix what's wrong. How do we simply choose to sit alongside a suffering neighbor? Or how do people choose to share the grief of another loved one? It's like the healing power of others who have been tested. According to Dr. Matthew's wisdom, things do follow the opportunity of the activity of the world to the time. To engage in that activity as close as possible with the transcendental awareness of nothing to the experience of the world outside. understanding